Southeastern Baptist Seminary Chapel Service, Tuesday, October 27, 1987. Ted and Francis York, missionaries to the Ivory Coast of the Foreign Mission Board, Southern Baptist Convention.
God is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? God is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Our hymn is number 315. Let us pray. Unto thee, O God, do we lift up our hearts. Thou art our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. We give you thanks for the warm invitation of Jesus, which says to us, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." As the gently falling rain refreshes the earth below, we pray that thy presence may refresh our spirits, that not only may we accept the invitation of our Lord to come unto him for the rest that we need, but that we may also accept his commission to go into all the world and make disciples. We're mindful that the field is the world. Help us to realize that in every part of the vineyard where thy laborers have gone, that they are engaged in kingdom work. And so we pray that the presence of thy Spirit may be felt. We give thee thanks for the life of this one who has come to share with us from his experiences in West Africa. Bless this chapel hour to our good and to thy purposes, for we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Our speaker this morning is Ted York, who with his wife Frances was appointed as a missionary to Gonja, the Ivory Coast in West Africa, in 1982. He and Francis spent a year in language study at Tours in France, and then went to the Ivory Coast. Ted and Francis have two children, a boy and a girl. Both Ted and his wife are native North Carolinians. Ted was born in North Carolina. He got his Bachelor of Arts degree at Wake Forest University and his MDiv degree from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. He is assigned as a general evangelist in Gonja, Ivory Coast. He will speak to us this morning after we hear the anthem.
I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you this morning to speak in the chapel service. It was about 10 years ago that I stood here in this same place for the very first time. Today, just as it was 10 years ago, it is a challenge to be able to share with you about what God is doing in Africa and to be able to present a missions message. As the basis of the meditation this morning, I would like to use several verses from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions that they had accumulated, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. We're not told much about the circumstances of Abram's call. In fact, we do not even have a hint of how God called Abram in this scripture passage. Perhaps God used a vision or a dream, or possibly inspired insight into the meaning of the conditions of the world during this time. Whatever the means God used to call Abram, we see in our passage that Abram obeyed. God said, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you." Along with this command, God gave several promises to Abram. Several promises that he would give to Abram if Abram would only follow God's call. The first promise that we see in this text is that God said that Abram would be the father of a great nation. This, of course, was a test of Abram's faith, because here was a man at age 75 who did not have any children at all. A second promise that God gave to Abram was that he would bless Abram and make his name famous. Another promise was that the descendants of Abram would be the ones to take possession of the land of Canaan. And the last promise that we see in our text is that God said that Abram would be a blessing to others. As we look at this scripture text, we see that Abram was called into a relationship with God in which he would both receive blessings and be a blessing to others. But for Abram, there were at least two difficulties involved in this call. The first was the separation. The separation from the land and the friends, which were very familiar and dear to him. The second difficulty that Abram faced was the difficulty of the uncertainty as to the place or the land where he would be going. Hebrews 11:8 tells us that by faith, Abraham, when called to go to the place that he would later receive as his possession, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Even though this decision must have been very difficult for Abram and his family, we see that Abram made an obedient and trusting response to God's call, and he left as the Lord had told him. This morning, I want us to think together about God's call to Abram, and in light of this call, look at our own call, some of the elements of God's call to us today. First of all, God does the calling. God takes the initiative. And as with Abram, God's call is personal and to a particular task. This call from God always involves a promise or a blessing, as it did for Abram. Yet oftentimes, hardships must be faced. As one writer puts it, being called of God did not put Abraham in a privileged position, but rather exposed him to greater trials and hardships. He had to make perhaps greater sacrifices than other people around him. The Christian life is like this. Jesus himself said, "Whoever does not take up his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." God's call for us to live the Christian life, a life of love and service to him and to our fellow human beings, sometimes involves separation and sacrifice and the greater difficulty of facing our future, a mysterious future at times. But even as with Abram, our response can be that of trust and obedience. I remember as a student here at Southeastern, Dr. Brown, who was professor of New Testament, one of his favorite songs, and a song that we sang rather often in class, was Trust and Obey. The chorus of that hymn is trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That was the message that Abram also experienced. He was one who trusted and obeyed. But perhaps you ask, as I did, as I looked at the scripture passage, why did God call Abram and not someone else? We don't know much about Abram for the first 75 years of his life. And as we know later in his life, Abram certainly was not perfect. I think the reason God called Abram was because that he was ready and willing and obedient. God still uses those who are imperfect, those who are willing to be open to his call. Dr. Keith Parks, who is president of the Foreign Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, wrote several years ago in the Commission magazine concerning God's call. He said, God calls all people to salvation. God calls all Christians to commitment of life. God calls all Christians to disciple the nations. God calls some Christians to church-related vocations. God calls all in church-related vocations to disciple the nations. God calls some to disciple the United States of America. God calls some to disciple the other 95% of the world's people. God calls from among his people. Like Abram, my wife Frances and I sense God's call to leave our country, our family, and our friends, to go to a land that he would show us. We too were on the threshold of a new experience, excited at the possibility of receiving blessings and the possibility of being a blessing to others. Yet, on the other hand, we were anxious about the realities of a decision such as this. The separation, leaving the family and friends who were dear to us, leaving a culture and a country that we knew, and the uncertainty as to the place or to the land where we were going. As we left the United States in 1982 to go to Tours in France to begin our language study, we again crossed cultures. The separation was difficult. We were taking the only grandchildren on both sides of the family. Being in a new area, trying to learn a new culture, being uprooted from our familiar surroundings. This separation was very difficult for us. After 1 year of language study, which isn't exactly enough, but possibly gets you by, we were leaving France to go to the Ivory Coast. As we arrived in the Ivory Coast, we had assumed that we would be going directly to our field, which was Ganyua. We would be the first Southern Baptist missionaries in this area. But it wasn't that way. We were in a period of uncertainty. In fact, for a period of 4 months, we were not sure where we would be serving. In fact, we almost felt like that we were not wanted there in the Ivory Coast. There had been some difficulties, and we were not able to move directly to our country, to our area of service. Again, the separation and the uncertainty were very difficult. But in spite of these difficulties, we continued to sense God's call to stay there in the Ivory Coast. And God's promise to Abram was true for us as well. The promise that we would receive blessings and would be a blessing to others. One of the greatest blessings that I had as a missionary was working alongside an African pastor. We worked as co-workers in beginning the work in Ganyua. I appreciate the foresight of our mission and the National Christians, the Baptists there in the Ivory Coast, for seeing that it would not be just the missionaries who would open up new work, but trying to put together a missionary with a national pastor. The pastor that I worked with, Pastor Zedie Matias, was a Bété from the area of Ganyua, and this helped me quite a bit to begin to know the culture of the people that I would be working with. Also, this young pastor was more educated or better educated than most of the pastors that we had had, that we have, in fact, and has just left the Ivory Coast to go to Togo to the seminary. He is our first pastor to leave to go to seminary, the French seminary, theological education seminary, or theological seminary, in Lomé, Togo. He's a very open young man, and his way of helping me was to critique my messages and the Bible studies that I did. This sometimes can be a very humbling experience, but this young pastor did it in a very helpful way. Another blessing that we received was the opportunity of working with a people that were very open and very responsive. We also were able to be a blessing to others as we worked together through our church to start several churches in the villages. About 15 churches were started in villages around the Ganyewa area. And then as Bible study groups and theological education by extension groups were started for our leaders. The question that I would like to leave with you this morning, has God called you? I think the simple answer that we, each of us, could give is yes. First, God calls all people to faith in Jesus Christ. This is basic to any call that we receive from God. Then, as Christians, God is calling us to a life of love and service to others. We are the living body of Jesus Christ in the world. As the words of a children's hymn say, Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men into his way. The story is told that at the end of World War II, American GIs were quartered in a bombed German village. And as they were there, they decided to repair a ruined church. One day they began to put together the fragments of a statue of Jesus Christ that had tumbled from its altar there in the church. When they lifted the image back to its pedestal, it was almost like new, except they were not able to find the marble hands that were a part of this statue. So at the foot of this handless statue of Jesus, they wrote this line, I have no other hands than yours. I have no other hands than your hands. God continues to use ordinary people, imperfect as we are, to minister to others. We can be used of God if we are willing and ready to respond to him and to be obedient to his call. For some, that call may lead one to leave family and friends, to move to a new culture, to work in a different land, as it did for Abram. For others, God's call is to serve him by witnessing to and ministering to people around you. What is God's call to you today? And how will you respond to that call? May we be as Abram, a people ready and willing to respond to God's call and to be obedient to his will for us. May we stand for our benediction.
May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.